None dare call it organized crime. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. David Rockefeller, 1915-2017, Memoirs, 2002. Organized crime families are usually depicted as members of a mafia that began in Sicily and became entrenched in Italy and the USA. While it is also claimed that corrupt power is organized in trade unions and political parties, the mainstream media scornfully rejects such allegations as silly conspiracy theories. We are told that mafiosi relations may have intimidating authority over some urban communities in Italy, but not the US government. Even so, conspiracy theorists claim that numerous offenses punishable by law are frequently covered up because the trial and imprisonment of corporate board executives might possibly jeopardize national security. Operation Paperclip recruited Nazi scientists for employment by the United States. President Harry Truman formally ordered the carrying out of Operation Paperclip in August 1945. But Truman's orders expressly excluded anyone found to have been a member of the Nazi Party, and more than a nominal participant in its activities, or an active supporter of Nazi militarism. Rocket scientists Wernher von Braun and Arthur Rudolph, and the physician Hubertus Strughold, had been correspondingly classified as a menace to the security of the Allied forces. To circumvent President Truman's anti-Nazi order, the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, JIOA, worked unofficially to create false employment and political biographies for the scientists. In short, they resorted to fraud and trickery. The JIOA also expunged from the public record the scientists' Nazi Party memberships and regime affiliations. Through the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, Operation Paperclip recruited teeming numbers of scientists of Nazi Germany for service in the United States at the end of World War II. The project's name was derived from the paperclips used to attach the scientists' most recent counterfeit identities and security clearances. One intended commendable function of Operation Paperclip was to deny German scientific data and expertise to the USSR during the Cold War, 1945-91. However, that proved to be somewhat fictitious when the USSR launched the world's first cosmonaut into space, Yuri Gagarin, 1961, and took an early lead in scientific space exploration. As Tom Bauer put forward in The Paperclip Conspiracy, 1987, Operation Paperclip was not a change for the better, but an effort to initiate illegal acts. Perhaps it was an Odessa organized body of crime against society to save the Führer's face. In None Dare Call It Conspiracy, 1973, Gary Allen alleged that the Rothschild family of international bankers helped to empower Adolf Hitler. But, according to Allen, honest scholarship on international bankers was stifled to keep in check any mention of the Rothschilds. The U.S. Federal Reserve Bank is supposedly owned and controlled by the Rothschild family business. It was said by conspiracy theorists that in the 1770s, Meyer Emshel Rothschild drew up plans for the establishment of the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati secret society. Adam Weishaupt, a Roman Catholic academic, was entrusted with its organization and development. It was to be called the Illuminati, as this is a Luciferian term which means, keepers of the light. Materialism and reductionism, not always in agreement, harshly preside over the intellectual fortunes of our world. Ever since the Enlightenment of the 18th century, science focused on nature operating blindly through lengthy measurements of time. Students were taught in the classroom to accept a universe without a creator or any specific purpose, an unintelligent cosmos shaped by ad hoc forces and guided by random phenomena. In an eagerness to clarify nature by way of random self-assembly, principal theorists of the Enlightenment calculatingly produced a restricted belief system. They denied the reality of any intellect higher than the mind of man, while reducing abstract logic to an analysis of unfeeling liquids, gases, molecules, and atoms in motion, etc. A succession of things less than human, like changing bits and pieces of matter, that ostensibly lack any hint of aptitude or understanding. They sought to eradicate all traces of geocentric or Ptolemaic thinking that wrongly positioned man and the Earth at the center of the cosmos. They held to Newtonian mechanics and a fairly accurate picture of the solar system as calculated in 1543 by Copernicus. But in actual fact, their new belief structure attested to yet another thorny geocentric principle. It plainly moved earthly perception to the living center of all things. Any notion of a higher psyche, or wisdom greater than the human mind, was sooner or later dismissed typically without inquiry. The terrestrial life of man and his cerebral world once again turned out to be the lackluster center of the naturalist's universe. As far as 18th century experimental science could perceive physical reality, not a soul existed beyond the planet Earth, only frozen clouds of dust and gases. And since a lesser intellect cannot fully grasp something cognizant over and above it, the idea of a higher awareness was unflinchingly rejected by the absolute elegance of a new geocentric smartness. God was dead. But human minds of great magnitude absurdly happened to hang about the cosmic center of all living matter. Liberal humanism became a new starting point for rephrased geocentric claptrap. The first and most evident motive for God's calculated death sentence was the political corruption of the clergy. The pastors have become brutish, echoed words of the sacred writings. The duplicity of church administrators fanatically provoked the Great Schism. The Eastern Orthodox territories separated from the Western Roman Empire in the 4th century AD. Soon after that, Constantinople was declared the capital of the Byzantine or Eastern Roman Empire. But the Roman Catholic Crusades, or series of hectic expeditions to the Holy Land, supported numerous offenses such as the merciless massacre of Jews at Mare in 1096, and the ultimate betrayal and looting of Constantinople by the starving Crusaders in 1204. The Great Schism challenged the Antichrist. Who was the true apostle of God? A routine official in Rome that declared infallibility, or major competition from Mecca that taught transmigration of the soul. After the wavering Byzantine Empire finally fell to the raiding Ottoman Turks in 1453, the papacy effectively held sway as the omnipotent supreme ruler of Christendom. Rome ruled its second empire, but the standing of the Christian world unsteadily caved in like a house divided against itself. The Crusades collapsed from hunger. The rule of absolutism, or absolute government through a theocracy of divine rights, had so despoiled the Roman Catholic standing that surreptitious trials and torture were accepted methods of sustaining the infallibility of the Pope. The Inquisition, or Holy Office, imposed fines and penances on challengers who were remorseful enough to apologize. But radical activists were imprisoned or cruelly executed, especially if they were Jews or Muslims. The Black Death was one of the worst natural disasters in history, peaking in Europe between 1348 and 1350. Millions of people died of the plague. One suspected means of transmitting the disease bacteria was the cochlear, Latin for spoon. The early church required everyone to sip directly from the same chalice. Custodians of faith would not offer a vessel to every visitor. Outbreaks continued for 200 years. By the 9th century, the church began to use the single communion spoon for the entire congregation. The plague swept over cities, causing widespread hysteria and death. It was alleged that the spoonful was miraculously altered and purified, transubstantiated, although its bowl collected a toxic blemish. No one of rank lower than a deacon could even handle it. Jesus in Scripture did not authorize the use of one communion spoon for the entire congregation. It would be worthy to break that disease-transmitting spoon. But presumably the cochlear proceeds of jewelers and goldsmiths became more significant than the hygienic needs of the worshippers. The Reformation began in the 16th century as an attempt to change the Roman Catholic Church. It denied the authority of the Pope and held the Bible to be the exclusive source of truth. The Reformation ended with the establishment of Protestant churches. but the religious clash that resulted triggered the Counter-Reformation and a bleak extension of the Inquisition. After the Italian physicist and astronomer Galileo Galilei was numbered among the victims for heresy and moral offenses in the 17th century, for designing a telescope to see Jupiter's satellites, and placed under house arrest for the rest of his life, it finally became evident to many scholars that the Catholic Church was implementing a bogus cosmology. The Vatican's mental picture of the world had nothing to do with objective reality, but was becoming more unempirical and damaging to civilization than some of the heretical doctrines it supposedly discriminated against. Cardinal Robert Bellarmine, the inquisitor who persecuted Galileo, was afterward declared a Roman Catholic saint. What's more, the celibacy rule that prevented Roman Catholic members of the clergy from marrying produced a tendency of depravity behind closed doors so alarming it dishonored echelons of monks, such as the Jesuit order, a counter-reformation faction that was organized along rigid military lines. In our time, Jesuiticle often means something offensive, clever but false reasoning in matters of conscience. Opus Dei, Latin for God's work, is a powerful reactionary group at the heart of the Catholic Church. Founded in Spain in 1928, it still requires self-flagellation and corporal mortification as a religious discipline. Its members practice the use of a cilice, a spike chain worn around the thigh, which may seem very strange to the outside world but has been a part of the Catholic Church for centuries. As practiced by the Jesuits, who held their floggings in front of the assembly and had a shockingly intense bearing, the facade of corporal mortification was characteristically degrading. Such rituals can be sexually disturbing and often produce what is now called sadomasochistic behavior. Indeed, for centuries, throughout France and other European countries, the men and women of the cloth availed themselves to the pleasures of the flesh to no less extent, and probably more so, than the lay worshippers to whom they were responsible for providing moral guidance. It was not unheard of for orgies to be held within the walls of convents and abbeys, wherein priests, nuns, prostitutes and nobles commingled to partake of the most scandalous and debauched activities. Douglas B. Linnett, The Marquis de Sade, CrimeLibrary.com. Eventually, flagellation became an act of sordid arousal incitement so common that by the 18th century, French pornographers presented the flagellate or whip, cat o' nine tails, of the Jesuit monks as an elegant plaything that fueled the fantasies and perversions of the French upper class. The Marquis de Sade emerged in those times as a figure of erotic pleasure derived from causing or observing pain. In 1773, Pope Clement XIV conditionally suppressed the Jesuit order throughout Europe. But the upper crust debauchery it fostered and allowed to run riot would in due course become a rampant public indulgence and a common sport of mischief makers. Ancient codes of virginity and self-restraint would no longer be reckoned as convenient social mannerisms. Instead, they would grow to be cold obstacles to sensual gratification and personal happiness, leisure time issues necessitating practiced guidance. Another scenario that contributed to the rejection of the soul was the reprehensible conclusion of racism. Machiavellian fed narrow-mindedness was for the most part overlooked as a charismatic attitude of superior wit and sarcasm. Voltaire, the French author who grew to be one of the most significant philosophers of the Enlightenment, thought that ancient Jews were an ignorant and barbarous people. He imagined that African Negroes were a different species, less significant than the Europeans. Their black wool does not resemble our hair, and one can say that, if their intelligence is not of another species than our understanding, it is very much inferior. Voltaire, Essay sur les Moeurs, 1756. America's founding fathers, often depicted as lofty wise men of the Enlightenment, were not wholly at ease with the creed of Judeo-Christianity. Instead, they decided on a deist or Unitarian form of Freemasonry as their code of moral behavior. Despite their dedicated sponsorship of freedom and equality for all men, many of the American revolutionaries were prosperous slave dealers and unyielding bosses of forced labor. Their British equals were amazed and bewildered. "How is it," asked Samuel Johnson, "that we hear the loudest yelps for liberty among the drivers of Negroes?" School textbooks typically describe the Enlightenment as an age of prized liberties with social equality, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the right to a fair trial. Yet, modern international institutions continue to publish reliable records that expose the 18th century as a disturbing era of blatant intolerance that supported the slavery of millions of innocent African captives, while historically mapping out the senseless massacre of the Native American Indian. Why then, should the ruin and downfall of Western man's theological order be described as some sort of enlightenment? Indeed, why did the truth seekers of the 1700s throw out the positive aspects of the Church's philosophy while living out the damaging facets of Jesuitical debauchery? Voltaire, for example, relentlessly made fun of the Bible and denied that Jesus Christ ever existed. But he lampooned that homosexual sodomy could be explored with an intelligent philosophical outlook. He reportedly once acknowledged to friends that when he attended Catholic school in Paris, "Those damn Jesuits buggered me to such a degree that I shall never get over it as long as I live." Was that edgy Jesuit wisecrack the conditioned reflex of an abused youth, an urge learned by associating a childhood trauma with a gratifying stimulus? Thomas Jefferson, the third president of America and the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, served as minister to France in the 1780s and made some very important contributions to the Enlightenment's ideals of personal liberty and equality. Thomas Jefferson was an outspoken campaigner of deism, an attitude that generally undervalued religious texts and tended towards scholarly atheism. Recent DNA evidence, as of 1998, suggests that he compelled his female slaves to have sex with him. An analysis by the Thomas Jefferson Foundation concluded that he was the father of at least one child with Sally Hemings, one of his household maid slaves. Sally Hemings' plantation enslavement room was excavated in 2017. Monticello.org. Did associating sexual oppression with a normal ability to convey affection encourage Jefferson's demanding and controlling impulses? Do human beings alter their conduct by accepting that two different actions, spiritual love and bodily sex, are related in some way? Is a denial of traditional faith the likely outcome of consenting to sensual excess? If the collapse of Western theocracy is remembered today as the Enlightenment, we should also bear in mind that the enlightened ones or most radical organizers of that age commonly called themselves the Illuminati. They formed a global secret society that specialized in the incitement of aggressive rebellion against the authority of the Church. The new member was told that God and any faith in a deity were human inventions, and had no factual meaning. The Catholic Church believed several Masonic lodges to have been penetrated and subverted by the Illuminati, but was not able to exactly determine which ones. There is little doubt that the Illuminati were dedicated to the overcoming of divine rights, princely power, as it was then known, and to the diffusion of anti-religious ideas. The ways in which this was done involved infiltrating high positions in education, administration, and the press. Arkin Darrall, A History of Secret Societies, 1961. While the term enlightenment to most of us may stand for expressing clarity or being informed, there was also a veiled or occult meaning to the Illuminati. The word lucid, based on the Latin luce, light, was joined with Pharaoh, to bring. The resulting word Lucifer is the bringer of light. Hence, the Illuminati were at times also known as Luciferians. Nonconformists at odds with the Church often used Luciferian in the academic sense of bringing enlightenment, citing Prometheus who stole fire from the sky gods. Benjamin Franklin, the role model seeker of lightning from his investigations of electricity, was purportedly a Luciferian Rosicrucian who belonged to the Hellfire Club. Human remains were found in the cellar of a house he once lived in. Physician William Hewson, a housemaid who practiced dissection, supposedly buried the bodies. By all accounts, it did not disturb Benjamin Franklin or other freethinkers of the Enlightenment that Luciferian in biblical folklore denotes Satan, the leader of the angels expelled from heaven for rebelling against God. Since the cultured and privileged deists of the Age of Reason had recycled Christian taboo and played down sacred writings, Luciferian was simply a well-worn practical gag, a harmless element of jesting and sarcasm to express the nerve of the Enlightenment and to make corrupt church officials lose a little sleep. Jesuit taught Adam Weishaupt, who was the first lay professor of canon law, initiated the Bavarian Illuminati movement in 1776. Thomas Jefferson once said that Weishaupt was a philanthropist who wanted to spread true morality. But his name commonly stands for a secret organization that peddles world affairs. Modern-day Illuminati are believed to be the globalist masterminds of the New World Order. Scandalous documents seized in 1787 at the home of Baron de Bassus, a schoolmate of Weishaupt, detailed the group's plan to win over women and use them to allure and recruit new members. It was soon alleged that the Illuminati pursued dreadful objectives and practiced appalling orgies, as seen luridly in Stanley Kubrick's 1999 film, Eyes Wide Shut, with Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Todd Field, and Sidney Pollack. An extract from a French book of the 1790s, La Secte Illuminis, claimed that the huge chateau of Ermenonville near Paris was one of the chief lodges. It belonged to the Marquis of Gerardin, who once sheltered the prominent Enlightenment writer Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The well-known magician and occultist Saint Germain allegedly presided over it. Initiations of candidates purportedly took place in an immense hall draped with black curtains, in the following manner. Shrouded corpses surround an altar built of human skeletons. The candidate's clothes are removed, his body smeared with blood, and his genitals tied with string. An invisible hierophant or wizard utters mysterious oaths that the candidate repeats in front of a burning funeral pyre. Now a candelabrum, bearing seven black candles, is placed before the candidate, and also a bowl containing human blood. He washes himself in the blood, and drinks a quantity of it. Arcandérol, A History of Secret Societies, 1961.